I always like to start each homily with a couple of thoughts to inspire you. And the first one is this: choose joy. Joy does not simply happen to us. We have to choose joy and keep choosing it every day. And the second one is this: there's nothing so great as the Eucharist. It would be like if you were to put all the good actions in the world against the Eucharist, it would be like a grain of dust against a mountain. Something quite profound to think about. As always, it is so good to be with you, and I truly enjoy our family, our parish community time together each week as we gather together to celebrate the Holy Mass. This morning, we celebrate the solemnity of the most holy body and blood of Christ. Now, while it's very true that there are numerous ways for us to tap into the immense nearness of God in our lives, the one that is primary, the one that is central above all others is the Eucharist. And St. John Paul II, he was really big on the Eucharist. So I like what he said. He said, "The church has received the Eucharist from Christ her Lord, not as one gift, however precious, among so many others, but as the gift par excellence, for it is the gift of Christ himself." As a convert coming up on 20 years now, it's hard to believe, I can personally testify to this reality. Prior to being received into the Catholic Church, I was a Southern Baptist minister, and I could not reconcile in my mind the words that Jesus spoke when communion was celebrated, said, "This is my body and this is my blood." It seemed to me that maybe with my engineering background that Jesus was saying that the body and blood of Christ, they're not symbolic, they're not some kind of symbol, but in its essence it is as real gets. Like we heard Paul say in his letter to the church at Corinth, "This is my body." And then as I would read later on from St. Thomas Aquinas, he said this: Christ is not quoted as saying, "This bread is my body," but "This is my body." So I was very fascinated and drawn to the Eucharist that way. And my study then eventually led me into the Catechism of the Church, and this indeed affirmed the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. And then my journey took me into the more practical aspect of it, into the local parish, where I observed firsthand the movement of the community, the movement of the Holy Spirit in the midst of the people as the Eucharist was being celebrated. It was a very powerful experience that I had, and I knew that this was my calling, that I was to become a Catholic. So the first thing I had to do, though, was I had to enter into the doors of the church. And I did. I enrolled in the RCIA program, and as a catechumen, and this is honest truth, as a catechumen, when we would have the dismissal after the liturgy of the word, I longed just to stay there. I wanted to stay at the altar and just be in the presence of the body and blood of our Lord. The only way I know to describe it is like this. It was sort of like a heartache associated with being engaged to somebody you love, but the wedding day had not yet come. It was that kind of longing, that kind of love for the Eucharist. And then, happily and joyfully, the day did finally come. And I must tell you, I was not disappointed in the least. 20 years now, I've been receiving and celebrating the Eucharist, and I can say with all honesty, it is the most wonderful thing that you can ever experience. My love and my longing for the Eucharist has not diminished over time, but instead what it has done, it has increased and grown in my longing to do it. So the question I'd like to pose for us this evening or this morning is, what are some ways that we can increase our awareness of the immediate nearness of God's love through the Eucharist so that we can affirm that it is truly the source and the summit of the Christian life? In other words, how can we keep it fresh and alive each time that we receive the Eucharist, or we're just in the presence of the Eucharist. The first thing is to prepare your heart to receive the Eucharist through the sacrament of reconciliation. When we receive reconciliation, we are cleansed, our hearts are purified, and it opens us up to receive the fullness of the Eucharist. I really like how the church details it. It says that preparation to receive the Eucharist reveals our understanding of what is called the dignity of the Eucharistic celebration. This is the greatest event that will ever take place in the world, and you're privileged to receive it every day as you so wish. I mean, that's truly profound, and that is truly amazing. But reconciliation and preparation is a part of that, just like as we prepare our hearts before we arrived here this morning. We begin to get our minds off of this task and this list, and we begin to think about the wonderful experience that we're about to receive when we receive Christ's body and blood. So reconciliation is very important, but I must say, unfortunately, in many ways, it has fallen off. It has fallen to the wayside. But remember this, this is something I truly believe. The sacrament of reconciliation is not optional. It's not. When we need to experience the life-giving grace and the forgiveness of God, instead, it is vitally essential to our receiving the vast storehouse riches of Christ that Christ makes available to us in this life and, yes, in the life that is to come. So prepare yourself through the sacrament of reconciliation. The second thing is to receive the Eucharist with regularity. Now, let me ask you a question. How long can you go without food and drink before you become weak? I bet everyone here, if not all, most everybody, has had something to eat or drink this morning already, and it's only the beginning of the day. See, even with our busy schedules, we're able to carve out time to eat. Eating is sort of like breathing. You got to breathe in order to live, don't you? Food, like air, is one of life's most basic essentials. And part of being human is to have a soul, and to have a soul requires spiritual food in order for it to be nourished. Now, the church says that we should receive the body and blood of Jesus at least weekly. And it is an obligation. It is called an obligation, to be sure, to do that. But I never can understand how coming to Mass would be an obligation. Coming to Mass is a privilege. It's a privilege. It's a privilege to be in the presence of Christ and to experience what we have. So, you know, approaching Mass must always come at a deeper, more profound level of understanding of what God is actually doing for us through the Holy Eucharist. The third thing is to spend time in Eucharistic adoration. Did you know this? Eucharistic adoration has been around ever since the beginning of the church. We even have written records in the 4th century, which shows that converts who were just baptized, they were invited to adore the Blessed Sacrament for 8 days after their baptism. And then in the 13th century, that's quite a long ways ago, isn't it? The solemnity that we celebrate today, it was instituted. And then by the end of the 14th century, adoration had become a common practice. Well, why so many things taking place right there? Well, it's because it was during that time that the Eucharist was challenged, the reality of it, that was it truly Christ's presence? And the church greatly affirmed that, and through that, all of these things begin to happen to show the life-giving effects of the Eucharist in our life. And then it was in the 17th century that religious and lay groups were focused for the specific purpose of adoring the Blessed Sacrament without end, meaning 24/7. What a joyful thought that is. And I must say that it has fallen off in the past years. But I also must say, with people like John Paul II, adoration is something that has been renewed and revived in our faith practice today, and it's becoming stronger and stronger each day. St. John Paul II said that we are to do everything possible to encourage the practice of Eucharistic adoration, exposition of the Blessed Sacrament, and prayer of adoration. Now, I think that's particularly important in today's world because we live in a noisy world. Let me ask you, do you have much quiet in your life? There's always a lot of noise going on, isn't there? And the beautiful thing about adoration is that it is something that's celebrated in silence. There's silence. People are stressed out today from all the noise. You know, stress is just a sign of inward struggle with everything that's going on. And so we need that time. We need that time of stillness. We need that time of quiet in which we can focus upon our beautiful Lord. And when we do, it helps us to grow. It helps our spirit to be strong and healthy, and it nurtures it. And we stay close to Jesus. It is pleasant, very pleasant, to spend time with Christ and to be close to Him and to feel His infinite love present in our heart. That's why the Eucharist is a priceless treasure. And by not only celebrating, like now, but also praying before the adoration outside the Mass, we are able to touch base, we are able to make contact with the very wellspring of grace. And how pleased I am to let you know that coming this fall, the church, our parish, is really going to renew our emphasis upon Eucharistic adoration, encouraging all of us to spend more time before the Blessed Sacrament. Saint Teresa of Avila, she's one of my favorite saints. When she heard people say that how they wished that they lived when Jesus walked on the earth, she would always chuckle a little bit on the inside. And here's why. Because she knew this. She knew that we have Jesus as truly with us in the Eucharist as people had him when he walked on the earth. See, the Eucharist shows us a love which goes to the end. It shows us a love which knows no measure. And as one of the saints said, it is through the Eucharist that we are literally living on love. Pretty profound thought, isn't it? A very encouraging thought. So I'd like to leave you with a couple thoughts for reflection this morning. First of all, the message hashtag is the real presence of Christ. Let me ask you a personal question. How do you work at keeping the Eucharist alive and fresh in your life, even today as we prepare to celebrate it? And the second thing is this. We have a new RCIA group that's going to be starting soon. And if you're interested in becoming a Catholic, from one convert to a potential convert, I would strongly encourage you to do that. I truly enjoy being a part of the Catholic Church. And the third thing is this. Reflect upon what someone said about adoration. It's truly a profound statement, very simple, but profound. Listen to what they said. To make room in our life for the Eucharistic Lord so that He can change our life into His, is that asking too much? Is that asking too much? God bless all of you. And if you'll please remain seated for just a moment. At this time, I would like to ask all our Eucharistic ministers to come forward for the commissioning rite. This applies to all who serve at weekend masses, as well as those who take communion to the homebound and the nursing home residents. Now, you can stand up and come forward, okay, this group. We're grateful, and we want to show and offer our blessing to these who day in and day out, who are faithful in helping us to receive this wonderful, blessed sacrament. This is truly awesome. Our dear friends in Christ, these parishioners are to be entrusted with administering the Eucharist, with taking communion to the sick, and with giving it as viaticum to the dying. In this ministry, you must be an example of Christian living in faith and conduct, You must strive to grow in holiness through this sacrament of unity and love. Remember that though many, we are one body because we share the one bread and the one cup. As ministers of Holy Communion, be therefore especially observant of the Lord's command to love your neighbor. For when he gave his body as food to his disciples, he said to them, "This is my commandment, that you should love one another as I love you." So now I ask you, in the presence of this wonderful community body, are you resolved to undertake the office of giving the body and blood of the Lord to your brothers and sisters and to serve to build up the church? Are you resolved to administer the Holy Eucharist with the utmost care and reverence? Dear friends in Christ, now I want to invite us all to stand and pray with confidence to the Father, asking him now to bestow his blessing upon these wonderful ministers of Holy Communion. I invite you to extend your hand towards them. Merciful Father, you nourish us with the body and blood of your Son, that we might have eternal life. Bless our brothers and sisters now who have been chosen to give the bread of life and the cup of salvation to your faithful people. Strengthened by this sacrament, may they come at last to the banquet of heaven. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's show our appreciation to all of our ministers. Yes. And now, my dear brothers and sisters, gathered together as one body in Christ, we call to mind our needs and lift our prayers to God.
For Pope Francis, Archbishop Kurtz, and all who have answered the call to priesthood, may they be renewed in mind and soul as they continue the good work brought forth in them by Christ. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.